Now, we're ready to start into chapter 7. And in chapter 7, the primary bulk of this chapter is devoted to giving a genealogy. We're not going to go over that genealogy. It's about the same one that's found in Ezra, the second chapter. And we're just going to take some of the first few verses, and then we'll skip over that genealogy. Verse 1, chapter 7. Now it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Now this Hanani was probably the same man who came to Nehemiah right back in the very beginning of the book, brought him news about Jerusalem while he was still in Persia, and really got him thinking about going over there as governor of Jerusalem. So here then he gave this man a charge over Jerusalem. He let him take his place, so to speak. And as I understand it, Nehemiah was fixing to leave for a while and go back to Persia. And he did go back, and he made a trip back and forth a time or two. And the reason he chose this man is for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. He chose him as being the one who feared God more than most people feared God, and he was a faithful man. These are qualities that we all need to develop in ourselves, of course. The quality of, number one, fearing God. That is, when we fear God, we think more of God than we do any other idea, any other group, any other person. God has number one in our life. And the book of Proverbs defines the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. It doesn't mean that you just stand there in trembling fear, but it means that you have such respect for God that you have a lesser respect for all other things than you do God. You hate all evil. Fear God, and then a faithful man, one who remains loyal. Verse 3, and I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. This phrase that says, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, simply means that when the sun was down, the gates would be closed. They would not open the gates until the sun came up. This would give the city protection then after dark, when they were most susceptible to attack by the enemy. And then he goes on and talks about the watches. Appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. Now it seems at this time that the only houses that were really inhabited in Jerusalem were the houses that lined the wall, all around the wall. So he's really saying that each person then on the watch would just watch the area of the wall that was by his house. Each one responsible for that that's by his house. Verse 4, now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. There were just a few people in the city, considering the number that could have been in the city, and for the houses were not builded. That is, most of the houses had not been restored or no longer existed. And there were just a few houses and a few people when you take into consideration the number that could have been. And the impression I get is, as we said, that these houses were just the ones that were along the wall, and because this is where all the work had been done. So you see then that the city had great potential for growth. It wasn't like our modern-day cities today, which are all overcrowded, all trying to find more room where they can expand. This city had a lot of space and a lot of room for houses, for the people in the houses were small. And that's always fairly a typical statement about God's kingdom and God's people. We're a small people. We're not a large people when we're compared to any other group. We're a small group. There is room for more people. There's room for more houses. Now, not all the houses have been built in Jerusalem that can be built. were not full by any means. And because of this smallness, it required each one of us to stand our turn at the watch. And we watch that's close to our house. We don't have to worry about watching others. It's their duty to take care of their job. Our job is to watch the part of the wall that's by our house. Verse 5, "And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy." Now, Nehemiah has a habit of saying that the things he does are the things that God put in his heart to do. And the things that he accomplishes are things that God really accomplished through him. He gives all the credit and all the glory for his actions to God. Well, one of the things that seems to be one of his works was to gather all the people together that they might be reckoned by genealogy. Now, we wonder why they weren't so hard on genealogy, but when we stop and think for a minute, we'll see how important that was. God's people had been back now about 100 years, and there might be some friction as to who should live where, who has what portion. The way God had allotted things, each tribe had a portion, and how was this going to be distributed now? So he went by genealogy, and it seems that he found a record that had been brought way at the time Zerubbabel had come, some 100 years before, a record of the original returnees, the family lines that each one of them had. And so he got that record, and he began to apply it to these people to see where each one fit and where each one should be dwelling. The end of verse 5 says, "And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and came again to Jerusalem and to Judah, every one unto his city, who came with Zerubbabel." Then he goes on and begins to name all these people. Now, this genealogy is not exactly the same as one as is found in Ezra, the second chapter, but it's very similar. Because you can see how there would be changes in 100 years. There would be breaches in it and gaps that he would have to fill in. So as we turn over to the end of chapter 7, verse 73, "So the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and the Nethinims and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities." So he used this genealogy to appoint each one to whichever cities they were to live in, to whichever city they were living. Now, they finished the wall in the sixth month. That was the month that corresponds to our August and September. And now they had appointed each one to the city that he was to dwell in the seventh month, which was the last of September and the first of October, according to our calendar. And so we learn then that it took about 1 month for Nehemiah to take this genealogy and to get it applied to the different ones to whom it applied and to decide where they were going to dwell. Where the original families had settled, they were then to take up that same settlement. It's an intriguing history and account of how they did things. It seemed that this was very much of a true a communistic type society, and I don't mean communistic in the sense of Russian communism. I'm talking about where they had things in common. And they had to distribute things in an arbitrary way so that it would be equal, and yet there couldn't be a quarrel or a big dispute about it. And so this is the way that he chose to do it. What your ancestors had done was a great determining factor in what then was done to you. And this seems to be God's way in a lot of things. Well, let's move on just for a moment into chapter 8.